Good morning for Bill Lynch. This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Ronald Reagan wanted the line item veto. Bill Clinton will get it.
On this vote, the yeas are 69, the nays are 29. The bill is passed.
Once the Senate bill approved last night is reconciled with the House version and signed by the president, he'll have the authority to strike pork barrel spending so it can't be loaded onto Christmas tree bills that are too important to veto. To Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole, giving the president this new power shows Republicans are serious about cutting the budget.
We're always accused on the other side, the Republicans want this for a Republican president. Well, now we're in the majority and we're prepared, nearly all of us on this side, to give this authority to a Democratic president, President Clinton.
But Democrat Robert Byrd, known for bringing home the bacon to West Virginia, questioned his colleague's motives and wisdom.
The first president of the United States maintained that he had to sign the bill or veto it in its entirety. He could not take part and reject part.
Arizona Republican John McCain says the bill represents an important shift of power.
It will cause a significant reduction in unnecessary and wasteful spending.
Today, welfare reform moves to the congressional spotlight. Rob Armstrong has that.
It appears the House will approve its version of welfare reform later today after working its way through more than 30 amendments. One of those amendments would have eliminated federal management of food stamps by giving the states block grants. The amendment was defeated after the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Pat Roberts of Kansas, argued strongly against it and defended what's in the bill.
We increased the penalties and procedures to curb the more than $3 billion annually that is lost to waste, fraud, and abuse. We are harmonizing the welfare reform in regards to AFDC and food stamp programs so that states can provide a more efficient one-stop service, not only for the taxpayer, but for the user.
Democrats in general still oppose the GOP welfare reform bill, among them Harold Volkmer of Missouri.
Still, the problem remains, reducing school lunches, reducing food stamps for the working poor. It's still a sow's ear, folks. You haven't made a silk purse out of this sow's ear.
Welfare reform will next go to the Senate, where the House bill is likely to be changed beyond recognition. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Republican Senators Orrin Hatch and Arlen Specter are proposing a bill that would end years of delay in carrying out death penalty sentences. Hatch says it's a matter of fairness.
A system incapable of enforcing legally imposed sentences cannot be called just and must be reformed.
Specter says criminals would get a message if the bill is passed.
In order for a deterrent to be effective, the punishment must be certain and it must be swift. But exactly the opposite has happened on these cases in recent years, where the death penalty has become a laughingstock of the criminal justice system.
A new poll shows strong opposition to affirmative action programs that give women and minorities preferential treatment to remedy past injustices. 75% of those sampled for the Washington Post ABC News poll said they are against it. A House panel is hearing testimony on proposals to end federal affirmative action programs entirely. Missouri Democrat William Clay said it would be wrong to get rid of them.
Affirmative action does not mean quotas. Again, it does not mean that unqualified minorities are hired over qualified whites. Ongoing affirmative action programs have produced significant improvements in occupational positions of women and minorities.
As Japanese police confiscated more chemicals from the Aum Supreme Truth Doomsday cult, the group's leader released a videotape in which he denied making the gas used in Monday's Tokyo subway attack. The sect's lawyer speculated that the U.S. military was behind the attack that took 10 lives. Steve Herman in Tokyo has the latest curious twist in the story.
There's growing evidence that Japanese authorities had indications beforehand that there might be a gas attack on Tokyo. Sources say the National Police Agency last week suddenly began stockpiling gas masks. Some residents of Tokyo also report that they saw an unusually large number of policemen in the streets early Monday morning, hours before the nerve gas was released in the Tokyo subway system, an indication that they knew an attack was imminent, although they didn't know exactly where it would be. Japanese police say they're in no position to comment today because they're busy with the continuing raids. Steve Herman for CBS News, Tokyo.
After getting a hero's welcome on his arrival in Jericho's self-rule enclave, PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat met with Vice President Gore and pledged a new campaign against Palestinian terrorists. Gore announced a new $73 million aid package.
The U.S. commitment to economic improvement in the lives of Palestinians is firm.
The Vice President also gave Arafat some additional trade breaks.
Effective immediately, companies in the West Bank and Gaza may export a very wide range of products to the United States free of any import duty.
In Gainesville, a second mistrial has been declared in the case of Billy Joe Cromedy, a teenager accused in the Florida rest stop killing of British tourist Gary Colley. Defense lawyer Dwight Wells.
Obviously, more pleased about a hung jury than I am about any kind of guilty verdict, and I think it's an indication one more time of the state's problems with this case.
Prosecutor William Meg says he owes it to the victim's companion, Margaret Jagger, to take a third try at convicting Cromedy.
I'm certain Margaret's ready to come back, so we're going to give her day in court. And one day, I think we'll reach a just verdict in the case.
An investigator has concluded that Washington Governor Mike Lowry did touch a former female press aide and engaged in remarks and other conduct that Suzanne Albright found offensive. But Lowry's behavior did not amount to sexual harassment. The governor says he feels vindicated.
Comments I'd made before about I never, ever knowingly did anything to make anyone feel uncomfortable and had never been told so will hold consistent.
But Lowry says he'll try to rein in his gregarious nature from now on.
I've definitely learned something here. I've learned it the hard way.
Today's Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that Albright is recovering from what police call an attempted suicide drug overdose. Police in Belfast say the British Army will cease all routine patrols in the city at midnight tonight. The move was denounced by hardline Unionist Member of Parliament Peter Robinson.
What kind of a world do we live in where the terrorists keep their organization intact? They hold on to their arms and their ammunition and explosives, and Her Majesty's government instructs the army to demilitarize.
The army halted daytime patrols in Belfast last month. All this is a reaction to the ceasefires declared last year by rival Irish nationalist and unionist guerrilla groups. The defense is expected to call its first witness today at the trial of Francisco Duran, the man accused of shooting up the White House last fall in an attempt to kill President Clinton. An Alexandria, Virginia jury is set to begin deliberations in the fraud case against former United Way President William Aramone. In a closing statement, his lawyer said Aramone may be a womanizer, but he's not a thief. The government says orders for new durable goods from appliances to airplanes fell 0.8% last month. Orders for non-defense capital goods, a measure of business expansion plans, dropped more, and even 2%. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead almost 27 points. It's 10 past.